gathering that they did for Christmas. We couldn't be here. We got a chance to go see Jersey Boys. Had tickets for a long time. And if you get a chance, if you like Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, you'll think they're right there with you, and you'll think they're cussing right there with you too. I told Miss Fran Simpson that she may have to plug her ears from time to time. She's going to see them this evening with Daryl, and they were going to have to plug their ears on a cake. But I tell you, you like Frankie Valli music, you can't beat that. It is wonderful. It really is. It's great. So we appreciate the opportunity to go see that. Several announcements and concerns for you. The Altar Guild, they are going to meet this Saturday, 8 a.m. They'll be putting the poinsettias out, so be aware of all of that. The seniors this Tuesday are going to China Grove. They are going to depart here at 10:45 from the church, so be aware of that. That's when the bus is leaving. Also, to add to your prayer concerns list, Joanne Austin is in the hospital right now. She had a little procedure, had some complications with the procedure. May be coming home later today, but we'll try to be aware of that. But just be praying for Joanne and Perry and the family. Be aware of that. Also, had communion with Jake Nance this week. Keep Jake in your prayers, if you will. He's got a rough go ahead of him, so be praying for him. The altar flyers are given to the glory of God and in loving memory of Jackie Miller for her birthday from Cindy and Jerry Miller. We appreciate that. And today is the last day to get the poinsettias. So if you want to order poinsettias, this is your last day for that. Are there any other announcements or concerns that maybe we've missed? Maybe we've missed. Well, I guess at this time, let's all stand as we're able for our confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please be seated if you would. Let's have the children come forward for the children's message. Come on up, guys. The vicar's working on a new camera back there, so he's enjoying some tech time. Right. Come on up. Right. Everybody looking good. How you guys doing today? Is everybody good? You okay? Everything going good? That's wonderful. Well, today is the second Sunday of Advent. That's why we got the blue stuff on and all the blue around and everything. Advent is a time to prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus or for the nativity of Jesus. Does anybody know who were the first people that the angels told about the coming of Jesus? Does anybody know? Who were the first people that the angels told? Shepherds. Today is Shepherd Sunday. Some of you guys, I know when you get in, when we have the Christmas program, you like to be shepherds. And we got some of you are sheep and everything. We've had some pretty rare bunch of sheep a couple of times. But the shepherds, wonderful folks were the shepherds. The angels came and told the shepherds who were watching their flock at night, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you, Martin Luther tells us in a sermon that he wrote a long time ago that we could take that word unto you and put your name right there. You could put your name unto you, Mike, unto you, Alice, unto you, Susan, unto whoever, whatever our name is, we could put that unto us was born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is both Savior, who saved us from the sin of this world and from death, hell, and the grave, but he's also Lord. That means we have to listen to him and follow him each and everything. I'll tell you what, we got anybody that's big here, anybody big that would volunteer? Need a big volunteer. In fact, I'll take two big volunteers. Who's big? They can volunteer. I need a volunteer. I don't know if you're quite big enough, Kai. I'm not sure. Who? All right, we got a volunteer. Come on up, come on up. I'll tell you what. Right over there, I believe, is the shepherd. About the second window back there. There's a shepherd right in the window. Would you grab that shepherd for you? You do that. He's right there. Let's put the shepherd in the nativity scene. Does anybody else? I'll tell you what. You go in the back window, there's some sheep. Might even be a goat back there. We're not quite sure. We got a couple old goats in this congregation anyway. A couple old looking goats. A couple of them. Don't laugh, folks. Go ahead and put it up further. We got some old goats. I preached a sermon about a loaded goat one time. Mandy Griffin. He was loaded with dynamite. Yeah, bring us at least one of them up. We'll get it filled up. So the shepherds. Wonderful. And if a shepherd can't be a shepherd unless he's got a sheep. I think we even got one goat there. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I think we got a goat too. Go ahead and throw them up there in. Don't throw them, but kind of lay them. There you go. That goat, he sometimes gets her. Thank you, guys. Now, let's pray, but I want you to wait right here after we pray. And then after we have the lighting of the candle, then you guys can go and get a sucker. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the shepherds who were the first to hear the message of Jesus' birth. We pray today that just like them, we would heed the call about our Lord and Savior. We pray today that we would be thankful, gracious, such a wonderful coming. We ask it all in Jesus. You guys wait right here, and we're going to have the lighting of the Advent candle, and then we'll get you a sucker.
This morning we light the shepherd's candle. This candle reminds us of the trusting faith of the shepherds who were the first to hear the good news of Jesus' birth.
Let us pray. Gracious and forgiving God, in this second Sunday of Advent, we are called upon to set aside time to worship you and make new commitments. Kindle in us the fire of the Holy Spirit as you did in the shepherds of long ago, that we may be a light shining in the darkness. Make this season truly holy for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
All right, guys, y'all can get a sucker and go to chewing. Let's all stand as we're able for the apostolic. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, O God, Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High Jesus Christ. In the Holy Spirit. In the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Please be seated if you
thank you.
Jesus Christ, as far as you can, stretch out. Let's pass the peace.
That's lovely. The first reading is from Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Here ends the reading. The second reading comes from Romans 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that we, through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the Lord, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Here ends the reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair, and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. Let's begin with a short word of prayer. Most precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful day for the folks of Oregon Church. And we do pray today you would open our hearts and minds to you, give us words to say, and may the seed of your gospel go forth as you see fit and letting your spirit move. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Baptist, what a great and a great human being that John the Baptist was and still is because he's with God. But he is the one that said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, it's easy to prepare the way for a Savior. As we had told the children, the angel's message to the shepherds on that day was, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And Luther does remind us, he is both Savior and Lord. He must be both. But it's easy to have a Savior. It's easy for somebody to come in and save the day and to take care of the bad situations and to help us out of the situation that we couldn't help ourselves out of. It's another thing to have a Lord. Jesus, Lord. He must be Lord. How do we prepare the way of the Lord? How do we do that? Imagine somebody coming to you, the greatest person that you could think of. This doesn't give justice to the Lord coming, but I can remember as a child that we had in our home a set of bone china with gold leaves on them, and I don't know if it was real gold or not. I have no idea. But they sat in a cabinet, and it had a glass, and you could see them. And my dad got those while he was in the Korean War. I think he bought them in Japan somewhere and had them sent over. And I always wanted to eat on those plates. I always wanted to eat on it because they sat there. We had the regular plates that we always ate off of and did stuff. But I always wanted, you know, something special. And I'd all the time bugging my mother, you know, when can we get them down? I want to eat off those. I want to use those. Well, we weren't allowed to do that. And, of course, Mom got tired of dealing with me. And one day she glibly said, well, I'll tell you what. If Nixon comes, then we can eat off of those plates. So I kept hoping Nixon would come to the house. Imagine that. Wanting Tricky Dick to come to your house. But I was a kid. I didn't know any better. But I always hoped that President Nixon would come. But I knew somebody important had to come, like the president, for us to eat off those dishes. So I thought, hey, if Nixon can come, then we can eat off of those dishes. But somebody greater than Nixon coming. His name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Greater than the President of the United States. Greater than all of them put together. Greater than the Senate of the United States, greater than the Congress, greater than all of the legislative bodies of the entire country and the entire world, and all the prime ministers and the presidents, the chancellors, the kings, and everybody else, is Jesus. Because he is Lord. He must be your Lord. And we must prepare ourselves during this Advent season. He is coming back in great power. We also must prepare ourselves for the Nativity. For the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Several ways. I've told the children when we were in confirmation, sometimes we come in here, we do a little, it's a very short field trip, if you will, as we come in and we go through here, and we talk to them about the narthex, about how that is a place to prepare yourself for worship. When you walk in there, when you walk onto the grounds of the church, you should be preparing yourself for worship. Prepare. We need to prepare ourselves for the Lord. We do that through worship. as we prepare our hearts, as we prepare ourselves for the Lord and Savior of the world, that we, as lowly people, just like shepherds, just regular average people are us, we get to commune with the Lord of the universe, the creator of everything, the God, all-powerful, almighty. We get to commune with him and worship him in spirit and in truth. And in that, we prepare ourselves for Jesus as Lord. He is King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we must prepare ourselves for this great, wonderful God that we serve. We also do that through prayer. Prayer. We must have a daily prayer life. We must pray constant. We must be in prayer. Prayer is not just what has been made out to be in modern days in the United States. Basically, prayer has become a give-me thing, a wish list. You know, it is Advent, but you know, it's getting close to Christmas. Some of you that have a few gray hairs like me, you will remember something. Do you remember the wish book that used to come out? The Sears wish book. Everybody looked forward to the wish book. Well, that's what prayer has become for a lot of people. It's just their wish book. I wish for this. I wish for that. Give me this. Give me that. Kind of like sending letters to Santa Claus. I know we've got a mailbox up in Salisbury where the little children can mail in their letter to Santa, and that's a wonderful thing, but we've kind of made prayer just like that little mailbox up there. Let's just mail our wishes to God. No, our prayers are, yes, we pray for things. Yes, we pray for healing. Yes, we pray for intercession in others' lives, for all sorts of things and situations. We are also to pray to be closer to God. We are to commune with him individually. It is a conversation between us and God. And you know, it doesn't have to be a King James prayer either. Oh Lord, if we thank of thee for this and that and the other thing. No, it can just be, God, I just want to talk to you today. Have you ever just sat down and just talked to God? That's prayer. That's a wonderful thing, and it's communing to him. No different than if we were to sit down, any of us, just have a conversation. That's what prayer is, and we get to do that with the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the creator of the universe, with the Lord of all. And we also do this one other way. We also must deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Jesus. You see, he's Lord, and that means he is out in front. He is the example. The choir in the song was talking about Emmanuel with us. Emmanuel with us. That means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He set an example. He modeled to us what is expected of us, what God wants for each and every person. He is the future come out of the past to us. What Jesus is what everyone will be at some point. We've talked about this. We must follow him. And we must deny ourselves. That means I must what? Decrease. Scripture says he must increase. Got to get rid of the junk of me. I got to get me out of the way. I've got to let him rule. Him reign. Got to be his way, not mine. His way, not your way. We need to give ourselves totally and completely to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He calls the shots and we dance. As we pray, our Father who art in heaven, it lets us know where God is in the cosmos. It also lets us know who's in charge. It lets us know that he is Lord, that Christ is Lord. And I pray today that Christ would minister to you, that you would let him take, and that you would let him move into your life in such a way that he would truly be Lord this coming year. Everybody makes their New Year's resolution. I don't know, some of you may have made, I've given up. I've given up on New Year's resolution. There's no need to do all that. Because by about the 2nd or 3rd of January, they're going anyway, even with the best intentions. But let's make this resolution to truly be His people, to truly let Him lead, to really prepare the way of God for us. And that must not be done just from the angel's perspective to the shepherds. That must be done every day, each of our lives, and sometimes multiple times, each and every day. Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for this world and all of God's great creation. Most precious God, we thank you for this wondrous time of year when folks are supposed to be filled with joy and goodwill, but often, as we have seen, hatred and violence enter into our world. There have been shootings in Pensacola and in Pearl Harbor against our folks in the military. There's other violence and other places where peace is needed, and we pray today, God, that you might bring peace to this world, that you might calm the troubled waters, that you might help dispel all of the doubts and fears and the hatred and all the things that bring these things to the forefront. Lord God, help us as we look forward to the nativity and return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to become more like Him. Lord, in your mercy, Father God, we thank you for this wonderful congregation, and we pray today that you might be with them in each and every way. Touch hearts and minds. Touch this body of yours. And help us all to be better prepared. To prepare the way of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, there are many hurting and sick among us. We pray for Joanne and for Jake and all those on our prayer concerns list. Pray also for all those who we name in our hearts right now. Father God is the great physician in heaven. We pray that you would minister to these, touching them as only you can do, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord's face shine upon you, and God's grace rest with you. And may he be your Lord, your Savior, this day. I'd like to ask you to be seated for just a moment, please, if you would, before we dismiss. I have an announcement I'd like to make. I will be stepping down as pastor of Oregon Church effective the end of this year. I have already told the council. I want to let you understand why I am leaving. This has nothing to do with anybody or anything that we are facing. I have no reason to leave this church, none whatsoever. But God has called me elsewhere. My family is in this area. I love you dearly. You are dear to my heart. I want you to know. I love you. I care for you. And I only want the best for this congregation, but my work here is done. When I came here for a couple of purposes that I knew and a couple that I, and one in particular I didn't know, but I have figured it out. When I first came here, you had transitioned from one denomination to another, and that has been accomplished. That is done. You are now firmly ensconced in the NALC, the North American Lutheran Church, and I am proud of that. Secondly, I know that there were many hurt feelings, and there were a lot of folks who just had raw emotion. And the second thing that I came here to do was try to bring healing and try to bring reconciliation, and I think we have accomplished that to a great extent. And the last thing, and I could not have foreseen this, and nobody could have foreseen this, was to help you through an abundance of grief and mourning as we would bury over 200 precious saints of this congregation. But my work is done. God is finished with me here. But he's not finished. I have accepted a call in Pontiac, Illinois. Never thought I'd be moving to Illinois. First Lutheran Church of Pontiac, Illinois has extended a call to me. Just for the record, there was another church in Ohio that also talked with me and contacted me. This is nothing that I came to glibly or harshly. This is something that I have been considering for over a year, well over a year. I've been in prayer. I've been in discernment. I have counseled with others, many others. Counseled with Pastor Jared Lanning, Pastor Ken Reed, and others. They're some of my closest friends, Pastor Don Staley,